This week, the U.S. Capitol police officer who killed a pro-Trump rioter during the January 6th insurrection said he, quote, saved countless lives. Congressional testimony by other Capitol police officers last month supports evidence that the attack was spearheaded by right-wing extremists who came ready to do battle. And as we're about to hear, groups with racist beliefs that mirror those of the Ku Klux Klan, the Posse Comitatus, and others have persisted since the Civil War. Some of those groups have roots in rural states like Kansas, where, as Jim McLean of the Kansas News Service reports, some people feel abandoned, even victimized by their government. And a warning that this story contains language that may disturb some listeners.
Patrick Stein was angry after the last big recession, angry at the federal government for bailing out the big banks but not his failed business, and for standing by, as he saw it, as immigrants flooded into the country. So when Donald Trump used anti-immigrant rhetoric on his way to winning the presidency, Stein felt empowered. In the summer of 2016, he and some like-minded members of a Southwest Kansas militia group hatched a plot to blow up an apartment complex where Somali immigrants who had come to work in the region's meatpacking plants lived and worshipped. Stein called them cockroaches.
See, that whole apartment complex right there? Yeah. That's all that's in there.
Really?
Yep, cockroaches.
All of them.
Every apartment's full of them.
That's Stein talking to an FBI informant while driving by to scout the complex. He said he planned to detonate the bomb when the Muslim immigrants gathered to pray.
I'd give anything to have a camera set up that, you know, would Wi-Fi that to me so I could watch it live.
The FBI foiled the plot. Stein and two accomplices are now in federal prison. But the anti-government racist beliefs that motivated them have a history in Kansas and other rural states where small towns are shrinking and people, most of them white, fear a way of life is being lost. Fears, says Kansas historian Jim Leiker, fueled by a new kind of populism.
In the 1890s, the populist enemies were railroad barons, big corporations. In the last 50 years, what neo-populism has done is it's redefined who those elites are by saying that, well, the new elites are the liberals.
Liberals who welcome illegal immigrants and who push for cultural changes that many in rural areas see as threats to traditional American values.
These elements of white supremacy, white fear of demographic and cultural change have been very powerful.
Danny Levitas is the author of The Terrorist Next Door, a book that chronicles the rise of right-wing extremist groups over the last 50 years. He says the farm crisis of the 1970s and 80s was an inflection point in that history. Debt-strapped farmers were losing their land at rates not seen since the Great Depression. And some were drawn to conspiracy theories peddled by groups like the Posse Comitatus that blamed Jewish bankers and corrupt federal officials. Posse leaders William Gale and James Wickstrom trained militia groups across the country and spread their message in tapes played on rural radio stations.
The politicians have put you in bondage, and you've sat back and let them do it.
This filthy Jew banking system is the most evil thing that ever came into the United States.
We're preparing for the war that's coming.
It was, Levitas says, a call to arms.
It was preaching that as white Anglo-Saxon Christians, they were the true descendants of the lost tribes of Israel. There was going to be a race war, and hand in hand with this international Jewish conspiracy were corrupt bureaucrats, and they should hang by the neck until dead.
Radical views embraced by former soldier Timothy McVeigh while stationed in Kansas at Fort Riley. A few years after his discharge in 1995, McVeigh and co-conspirator Terry Nichols drove a rental truck to a park near the fort and packed it full of explosives. McVeigh then headed south to Oklahoma.
There has been a massive explosion at a federal building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
The blast leveled the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building and killed 168 people. It remains the deadliest act of homegrown terrorism in U.S. history. McVeigh modeled his plan on The Turner Diaries, a dystopian novel written by William Pierce, a leader of the neo-Nazi National Alliance. The book, first published in 1978, is about white Americans fighting to take their country back from Jews and non-whites.
McVeigh followed the Turner Diaries almost to the letter.
University of Chicago historian Kathleen Ballou tracks the white power movement. On the NPR podcast Throughline, she said the book, though fiction, answered a key question for people in the movement.
And that question is, how could a small fringe movement hope to achieve what it set out to do in the 1980s and has been trying to do ever since, which is to violently overthrow the United States?
The mission of many in the mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol this past January.
It's our country, we want it back!
The attack and attempts by some politicians to exploit the anger that fueled it reveal a disturbing evolution, says Jim Leiker, the Kansas historian. The racist anti-government beliefs that once thrived only on the political fringe have migrated to the mainstream.
Some of the coarse language has been softened to make it more appealing to wider groups of people. But the core idea is that your government can't be trusted. That's still there, and I think it's a driving force behind what you saw on January 6th.
A force behind new extremist groups, which, like those that came before, are ready to go to war against their government. For Here and Now, I'm Jim McLean.